Matthew chapter number 6 and Luke chapter number 22. I believe with all of my heart that our quiet time with Jesus is the heartbeat and the life's blood of our spirituality. I believe that. And it's a thing that we let slip the most because it is a private thing. It is easy to let it slip because it is a secret thing. Let's read in Matthew chapter number 6. Let's start in verse number 5. We'll read a couple, three verses or so here. And then we'll look at some other verses tonight as the Lord would help us to do that. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now notice verse number 6 gives us some insight to a quiet time or a private life of devotions unto the Lord. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." That is a place of solitude. That's a place of secrecy. That's a place where you can get personal with God. And God can get personal with you, is in the closet. Amen. I believe our churches will be formed and made by the closet. Amen. People don't have a closet time, then they're probably not going to have much of a church time. But verse 6 says, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father," notice this, "which is in secret." Amen. There ought to be a great motive for us to get in the secret place, is that's where my Father's at. "And the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." We'll stop reading right there. Let's look at Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. We pointed this out the other night. The Bible said in verse number 39, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him." Well, what did he do when he got there? He prayed. Verse 40, "And when he was at the place," notice that emphasis of the place. Jesus, I believe that's indicating that Jesus had a set aside specific place that he went to pray. I believe he had several places that he went to pray. But I believe here was one of his top places of all to pray. He did business with his Father there in the time of prayer. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, and strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow." Now, I wonder if Jesus was in his secret place and he was praying, and he turned around and come to the disciples, and guess what he found them doing? He found them sleeping. He found them sleeping. They were only a stone's cast from the Lord, the Bible says. One of the other accounts said he went a little further. Just a stone's cast. And they were that close to this renowned event that Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. But what were they doing? They were asleep. What would they learn if they would have been awake? They could have heard that prayer. They could have witnessed that great event, no doubt about that. But a quiet time with the Lord. There's a lot of things we could say about it, but I just want to quickly skip over a lot of introductory thoughts because we're going to be back on the subject again. And I just want to deal with these key points this evening for just a few minutes here. We'll try to let you go. The first thing I want to say about the quiet time, a place where you get along with God, a place and a time where God can talk to you and you talk to God. Amen. The first thing I would like to just share with you tonight is that is the place, quiet time, your quiet time, is the place that you deal with spiritual attention. Now that right there will get big to you if you let it. That is the place, that is the time that you devote focus and attention to your spirituality. And God asked me the question even today, what do you do or what do I do? And I'm asking you, what do you do in a day's time or in a week's time that's devoted to your spirit man? Most of all that we do in 7 days in a week is for the physical. It is for the flesh. How much is given, how much time, how much attention is given to your inner man, if you're saved, the spirit being? Well, when you have a quiet time, that's why the devil fights it so, is when you have a quiet time of the Lord, when you pray and read the Word of God, and you're not just praying, but you're listening, you know. You're communicating with God, and He's talking back to you through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying. But that is a time that you give attention to, give a spiritual attention. Amen? I wrote this down. It's a time when you give, first of all, you give attention to your spirit man. You focus in on the inner man. Amen. And I always say you need to pay attention to your inner man. You need to pay attention to your spirituality. Amen. Because you can lose a lot of ground and not know it if you're not looking. But I noticed this, and I just jotted a few things down. And that was when I'm giving attention to my spirit man in the quiet time, the first thing that I'm to keep my notice on and focus in is, number one, to its lacking. When I give attention to my spiritual life and my spirit man, I need to know in a quiet time what lack I have. Does that make sense? What I'm lacking spiritually. And by the way, I just thought I'd let all of us know that all of us are lacking. There's never a time in our life that we're not lacking. We can grow. There's room to grow. There's room to grow. But what am I doing when I take and do a quiet time, and if that's in the morning, or if it's in the evening, or if it's night, or whenever it is, will be the best time for you to give the best time to God. Some people are not morning glories. Amen. Some people are night owls, amen, or whatever. But whenever you can give quality time to the Lord, that's what Sister Rogers was talking about. Giving quality time. Amen. I used to, when I first started, I made it bondage. Remember I told you the other Wednesday night, keep your quiet times simple. Don't make it get complex. Don't get in bondage over it. And I remember when I first started preaching, Brother Carroll, I could hear all these preachers talk about, hey, you better be up at 4 o'clock and pray 3 hours and amen and all this stuff, you know. Well, I thought, well, if I'm going to be what I need to be, you know, or be what they are, then I need to get up at 4 o'clock and pray 3 hours. Well, before I knew it, I was getting up at 4 o'clock and praying 3 hours, but it was all mechanical. It was bondage. Amen. And then it got to the place to where I was focusing more on have I prayed 30 minutes or have I prayed 45 minutes or how long have I been praying. That's not devotions. That's not quiet time. Quiet time's not caught up with a time X. Quiet time's talking to is a focus on who you're talking to. Amen. And what you're talking about? Well, anyway, it got bondage. It just got to be a bunch of bondage. And I was just enslaved. Amen. 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 I found out I'd get up there and try to pray at 4 o'clock. I wouldn't pray 5 minutes. I'd wake up and I'd say, boy, that's about sorry of me. Here I'm trying to pray and I can't stay awake. Now I'd get up and try to read the Word of God, read about 3 verses, go to sleep. And it was just bondage. You wake up and you say, what verse did I quit reading on? And you don't remember reading none of them, so you think, well, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to go back and reread them. And you come back through there again, you fall asleep again. You don't need a sleeping pill, just read the Bible. Devil, make sure you go in a coma if you read the Bible, amen? But anyway, when I'm giving spiritual attention in a time, of, in the quiet time, to my, first of all, my spirit man, in the areas of my lacking, where I'm lacking. It'll surface in the quiet time. You get with God and God will show you, you're not doing this and you need to do more here, and He deals with your lacking. Amen? To spend time in the quiet time is saying to God, I have needs that only God can meet. That's why Jesus spent time with the Father, is because He had needs met in His heart that only could happen in the quiet time. Not only do we need to focus on the spirit man in its lacking, but also in its living. Amen. God has a plan and a purpose for you to live spiritually. And when you take time in the quiet time to do that, to pray and read and spend some quality time, even if it's 15 minutes. And I know everybody's busier than a one-eyed cat watching 10 rat holes. That's a Rufus Rogers statement. That's pretty busy. You don't think that's busy? That's pretty busy. But you know, we're busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. But are we so busy we can't give 15 quality minutes to our spiritual man? I mean, 15 minutes. See, start small, work up. Start small, work up. But anyway, let's give attention to the lacking of the spiritual man. You give attention to the living of the spiritual man. Give attention to the learning of the spiritual man. It is in the quiet time many times that the most valuable and meaningful lessons are taught to you in solitude by the Savior. Many times Jesus would take His disciples apart, away from the crowd, take them into a place of solitude and teach them. So it's a focus on the learning. And then it's a focus on the longing. It's in the quiet time that you're going to find out what desires you have, what real longings that you have for the Lord. And I tell you, it'll be embarrassing to most of us if we realize just how little spiritual desires we do have. And then we focus in also on the spirit man to its leadings. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is many times in the quiet time we find out leadership. It is we get leadership in the time that we spend with the Lord. Amen? Brother, I was preaching this week. I preached a couple of messages. Monday night I preached a message. Well, I preached a message I hadn't preached before. But anyway, Brother White said, where do you get that? I said, Brother, I look for it. Where'd you get all that? Lord, give me a message going down there. The first Monday and also the second, this past Monday. The Lord gave me a message en route to the church. And He said, where'd you get all that? I said, I look for it. I pray for it. I get with the God of heaven and try to get... And He gives me this stuff.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not against books. I think you ought to have some. Amen. Everybody will try to have a library at least with some. But I tell you what, I get my most meaningful meat is in meditation. Chewing on the Word of God and getting with God in prayer and praying over a verse of Scripture. Amen. There's been times I've been looking at a verse and I know there's something there, but I couldn't see it. I said, Lord, I know it's there. I know You want to show me something. Open my eyes and let me see it. And boy, God will show it to me in a time when He's wanting me to see it and let me see it. Well, anyway, we're to give attention. The quiet time's a place where you give attention. Spiritual attention to your spirit man first. Second, you give attention to the Scriptures. Think about it. When you have a quiet time, you are on purpose making an action of getting the Bible and giving attention to it. Why the devil don't want you to have a quiet time? It's because you're going to be looking into that Word that'll change your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
A quiet time is a time of attention. A quiet time is a time of attention to the spiritual man, the inner man. It is also a time of attention that we give to the Scriptures. And then it's a time that, I like this, it's a time that we give attention to the Savior. In the quiet time is when we get our focus off of the hustle and bustle of life and get our attention onto the Lord.
Amen.
It's amazing in these dark days how less of darkness we see when we see Him. Amen? If most people spend as much time talking to Jesus as they do listening to CNN and Fox News, they'd be a lot better off. Amen. They broadcast the news. I tell you, it depresses me. I'm serious. You can say that's a sign of weakness or whatever, but it depresses me to see all the junk that our leaders are doing. Amen. It really does. Amen. But I'll tell you, I've never been in the quiet place, never been in the throne room and got depressed. Amen. I've got impressed. Amen. Amen. He's impressed me. He's fed me. But it's a time when we focus on the Savior. Boy, it's a time of intimacy. It's a time of fellowship with the Lord. That'll change your quiet time from being a bondage to a blessing. It'll start fellowshipping with its Savior. Amen. It's a good time to learn how to worship. Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't have a clue about worship in public because they don't have a clue about worship in private. Amen? Worship is not learned. Worship is lived. Worship don't come out of what you know. Worship comes out of who you know.
Amen?
Worship, my friend, in private, listen, the old saying for worship, the old way the English word was worthyship. Worthyship. In other words, worship is what happens to you, what happens from you and comes from you into the Lord when you start realizing His worth and His value to you. Amen? Amen. The devil can't stop you from worshiping. If you realize how valuable Jesus is and how worthy He is. It's a good time in the Savior, in the secret place and in the quiet time to start focusing your attention on the Savior. Think about it in 24-hour day that you live, how many thoughts of Jesus goes through your mind. Most people in church never even think about Jesus throughout the day. But if you've got a quiet time, you're not going in there, my friend, with a TV guide and a newspaper. You're going in there to do spiritual business. I tell you, it's a time of attention. Could I give you something else? I mean, there's a lot I could preach right there about the Savior and fellowship and worship and intimacy and all of that. Amen. I believe that. I will leave this. I will just make this statement and go on. The quiet place, the quiet time of the Lord is where worship is developed. You can write that down. It's where worship is developed. You get in the closet and start loving on Jesus, see what happens to your life. Just like my mother-in-law asked that girl, remember I told you that the other Wednesday night? She asked this girl, goes to church and says she reads her Bible and all this stuff, says, do you ever get on your knees to pray? Sister Melissa made that statement tonight. She was praying, wasn't going nowhere till she got on her knees.
Amen.
Now, it's not the posture that is so important right there. It's not, because some people can't get on their knees. Some people physically are not able to get on their knees. So it's not the posture that is so emphasized there. But what is emphasized there is the fact that when you bow a knee, you're actually submitting yourself, your own purpose, bringing your flesh down to bow before the Lord. Amen. Amen. But it's where worship is developed. God don't want our churches to be dead and dry. God don't want that. I promise you that's the truth. He wants our churches to be on fire and lively and full of God. But I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from the quiet place. That's where worship is developed. Young people can worship. We shouldn't have to say, young people, you can get involved in the service. You can testify or whatever. Listen, how often, we heard some tonight, but how often do you hear people tell about their quiet time experience? I mean, how often do you hear that? You very seldom ever hear it. But it ought to be a frequent thing. It ought to be a frequent thing that somebody stand up and say, hey, you know what, such and such a day this week, I was in the presence of the Lord and reading the Word in prayer and meditation, and God done this or showed me that or gave me this.
Amen.
But you very seldom ever hear it. But anyway, I'll go on off of that. But it's time. The quiet time is the place where worship is developed. It's the place where what intimacy our fellowship is made intimate or real to you. A second truth. Can I give you this quickly? I'll just run through these right quick. Not only is it a place of spiritual attention, it's also a place of spiritual consolation. The quiet place, the quiet time you spend with the Lord is a place of spiritual consolation. How many times have you and I went into the presence of God in prayer with a heavy heart? Oh yes, if you live for God any length of time, there's going to be struggles and battles. And you go to God in prayer, friend. Sometimes you go into the presence of God. You go into that time where you read the Bible and all. And I'm telling you, your heart is sad and your heart's heavy. Maybe bad news has come. Maybe something else has happened or whatever. Amen. I tell you, the quiet place is a place of consolation. How many times I've drugged myself in but went skipping out. Amen. Amen. I went in with a sad heart and come out with a singing heart. I went in down but came out up. You say, what happened? I got my focus, my attention on the Lord and had a good time of Him consoling my heart. Amen. How many times has the Word of God, my friend, ministered to you? Amen, 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 amen. It's a place, it's a time. It's a time where, my friend, spiritual consolation is received. Also, I mentioned thirdly, it is a place of spiritual preparation. Throughout the Bible, I'm just skimming through, but throughout the Bible you find people before they engaged in war or engaged in some kind of a task that they would spend some time praying about it. I guess probably a good classic example of that would be Moses. God called Moses out of Egypt. Where did He lead him to? The backside of the desert. What happened on the backside of the desert? He got to know God. God revealed Himself to him and talked to him, amen, and commissioned him and prepared him there on the mountain. What happens in the quiet place? It's a place of preparation. And by the way, just to let you know, there's a lot coming our way in this world we better get prepared for. Amen. There's a lot of things coming our way in this world, brother. We better get prepared for, or we're going to be spiritual casualties. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. But it's a place, it's a time set aside for spiritual preparation. Time when you prepare yourself for war. David prayed after his town had been invaded and the enemy had stole away all the men's wives and their children. And you know what David did? David went in prayer. He said, shall I pursue? David got along with God and he said, shall I pursue? You said, preacher, that's the automatic thing to do. He wanted a word from God. He wanted to know. He wanted to get leadership. And brother, it was in the private time, David getting with God and praying, God said, pursue. And without fail, you're going to recover all. Amen. Praise God, you look through the book of Acts and those men would stand up with boldness. Where'd that boldness come from? Quiet time. Amen. The 120 got in that upper room in chapter 1 of Acts. And they had a 10-day prayer meeting. Had a 10-day quiet time where they got along with God. God and shut themselves out from the world and shut themselves in with God and spent time, my friend, searching their heart and praying. And guess what happened? The Holy Ghost come in power. And 3,000 people were saved. What will turn our church into a soul-winning powerhouse, brother, is if the membership starts spending some time with the Lord. Amen. Time of preparation. Also, it's the quiet time is a time where you deal with spiritual nutrition. It's a time where you feed. It's a time when you focus on feeding yourself. The quiet time is your spiritual kitchen. Amen. Your soul feeds on the meals there prepared for you. I do say that most of us don't go too many days or even too many minutes without going through the kitchen. Why? The physical man has got something that came in with the birth. It's called a diet. And it requires to be fed. And you got to go where the food is. And you got to get in the kitchen. And you got to eat. And boy, isn't that wonderful. I kind of got a habit of it myself. Hey man, sometimes I eat when I'm not even hungry. I just say, I like it. Hey, Brother Stallard laughed on that, and I believe I said something he agrees with. Amen. Hey man, but what I want you to know, brother, our quiet time is not only a place that we deal with spiritual attention and spiritual consolation and spiritual preparation, but also spiritual nutrition. It's a time, brother, when we go in. Listen, your spirit man don't eat chicken. Your spirit man don't eat biscuits and gravy. Your spirit man eats spiritual food, and that's all. Nothing of this world will feed your spiritual man. You can go to the four corners of the globe, brother. Nothing in this world will feed you spiritually. No magazines, no movies, no music. None of it of this world will feed your spiritual man. It has to be a spiritual thing of itself. You know why I like to eat food? Because me and that food's got something in common. Amen. That's right. Me and that food both come from dirt. When that food goes through my digestive system, it fits in and becomes a part of me. What I ate yesterday is gone. It's a part of me now. Amen. It went in, plumb into the cellular levels of my body. Amen. It's a part of me. Amen. Your spirit man will feed on what's one with it. Amen. It's got to be of a spiritual nature for your spirit man to feed on it. But anyway, the quiet time is a place, brother, of spiritual food. Amen. It's a place of nutrition. The Bible talks about meat and milk. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 5 and verse 14, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are of a full age or those that are mature. You know where you're going to mature at? Your maturity level is going to be based on your quiet time with Jesus. It's hard to get the poochy lip and get easily offended when you've been in the secret place with God. In prayer. Amen. That's right. God help us. But anyway, there's several scriptures we could give about that. But let me throw out some more real quick before we let you go here. Let's see what time it is. All right. Amen. It's a place of spiritual instruction. The quiet place is a place of where spiritual instruction is received. Leadership. God says, do this. Don't do that. Go here. Go there. Amen. And then it's a place, also, I like this, it's a place of spiritual restoration. Boy, how many times we went into the prayer closet and we was a far cry from what we need to be. Amen. We was weak, fainting, and God restored us. Well, I can't tell you the times I've been restored through prayer and the Word of God, spending some time with Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, if I get away from the Lord, I'm a miserable human being. If I get out of fellowship with Jesus, I'm a miserable person, buddy. Amen. And I don't even like myself when I'm like that. Say amen right there. You're made out of the same thing I am. Amen. And I promise you, I read your mail as well. You're miserable when you get away from Jesus. He is, my friend, He is our restoration. Amen. He restores our strength and restores our spirituality and our focus, so on. But also, it is a place of spiritual crucifixion. Oh, yes. What better place to crucify the flesh than in the quiet time? Does your flesh want to pray? I'm right now done. Listen, your flesh want to pray? No. Does your flesh want to get in there and listen to God and love on Jesus? No. Your flesh can't stand it. So in the spiritual application of that is, when you have a quiet time and you're going in there to do spiritual business with the Word of God and prayer and spend some time loving on Jesus, it's not just reading the Bible, it's not just praying a little bit. I'm telling you, that little quiet time ought to be a time when you love on the Lord and worship Him and tell Him how good He is. Focus on who you're talking to. The model prayer in Matthew 7. The first thing they start with is getting focused on who you're talking to. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many times we pray and our mind is not even on who we're talking to? Amen. God help us. But it's a place of spiritual crucifixion. I jotted this down. I'll give it to you. Listen to this. If we have no quiet time, then self will win and will rule your day. When you have a quiet time, when you get in that book and you pray and spend some time with the Lord, even if it's just for a few minutes, I want to tell you that in itself, buddy, denies the flesh and puts the flesh out of the driver's seat, and you start off with a spiritual direction. Amen. It's a place of spiritual crucifixion. By the way, in the text we read, in Luke 22, it was in the quiet time with Jesus that He said these words, "Not my will, but thy will be done." You say Jesus was crucified on the cross. Oh, He was crucified long before that. Amen? He lived a crucified life. His whole life from start to finish, as far as His earthly life, was a crucified life. He did not live for self. He didn't live to please Himself. Romans 15 shows us that. He lived for others. Amen. Amen. It's a place of crucifixion. Amen. A lot of other things we could say. Let's all stand to our feet.